Today's episode is brought to you by Texas Radio One, playing the best country in Texas 24 hours a day. You can find them at TexasRadioOne.com or search for Texas Radio One on Facebook. Be sure to like, follow, and share to stay up to date with everything they have going on. Only the best country music is on Texas Radio One at TexasRadioOne.com. Put it in your ear. Well, hey there, y'all. Welcome back to Honky Tonk Tales, the podcast where we two-step through the dusty corners of country music history, dig up the rhinestones, and find out just what made our legends shine or stumble. I'm your host, Jimmy, and today, Lord have mercy, we're wading deep into the velvet-throated storm that was Patsy Cline. Now, don't let that sweet voice fool you. Patsy wasn't just country music royalty. She was a rhinestone-wearing, cigarette-smoking, stage-commanding firecracker who could stare down any man, record exec, or jukebox with nothing but a smirk and a song. So today we're going to dive into the heartbreak, the hustle, hell-raising, and heavenly singing that made Patsy a household name. We're going to talk about her life, her loves, and her plane crash, her legacy, and plenty of behind-the-scenes stories. Buckle up, honky-tonkers. It's going to be a wild ride. Born Virginia Patterson Hensley in Winchester, Virginia in 1932. Little Jenny wasn't what you'd call ladylike by Southern standards. She was mouthy, tough, sang louder than the Baptist choir, and she could scrap with boys twice her size. Her mama, Hilda, was her biggest fan, and her dad, well, he skipped town when Patsy was 15, left behind a little girl with a will of steel and a broken home. And now, most kids want to ride a bike or a doll when they're young. Patsy, she wanted to be on the Opry. By her teens, she was singing in local clubs, wearing fringe and hand-sewn dreams, strutting into bars where she had to lie about her age and pretend she didn't notice the drunks hollering. And yeah, she already had that voice, deep, commanding, a little husky, like bourbon soaked in honey. Her first break came on Jimmy Dean's radio show, you know, the sausage guy. But folks didn't quite know what to do with her. Was she pop? Was she honky-tonk? One exec said, she sings too good for country. What the hell does that even mean? But let's talk about that voice. She didn't just sing notes, she told stories. Full of ache and sass and stubborn heartache. She wasn't just singing, y'all. She was testifying. Now here's where it gets juicy. It's 1957, and she's married to Gerald Cline, a man who wanted a quiet housewife, not a gal out till 2 a.m. singing honky-tonks and sequins. Spoiler alert, it didn't work out. That same year, she lands a spot on Arthur Godfrey's Talent Scouts TV show and belts out Walking After Midnight. She didn't even want to sing it. She thought it was too pop. But it becomes her first hit, overnight, and boom. Patsy Cline is a name. Problem was, her label still didn't know how to market her.
I go out walking after midnight, out in the moonlight, just like we used to.
Now behind the scenes, she fought for better pay, better songs, and better contracts. This was before artists had managers or lawyers in their corner. She read the fine print, didn't take crap, and if a man tried to push her around, well, she'd push right back, verbally or physically. Now let me tell you about Owen Bradley, her producer and partner in polish. Owen didn't try to change her voice. He just built that Nashville sound around it. Smooth strings, background vocals. But Patsy, her voice never got snuffed out. Then came Crazy, written by some skinny kid named Willie Nelson. Patsy hated the way Willie demoed it. She called it all over the place. But after some rearranging, it became one of the greatest songs ever recorded. Period.
Crazy. I'm crazy for feeling so lonely.
It's been said that upon hearing Patsy record Crazy, Willie walked out of the studio and whispered, "It's hers now." Now we're talking. The sound of Patsy Cline. The honey-voiced thunder that turned bar ballads into cathedral anthems. Things really shifted in 1960 when she signed with Decca Records and got paired with Owen Bradley. You know, the man behind the Nashville sound. Now, Owen knew how to frame a voice with strings, backup vocals, a subtle piano, a warm, polished echo. But Patsy was the fire inside all that sugar. Now, she hated rehearsals, said they sucked the feeling out. She sang with the band live. No isolation booths, no tracking vocals after the fact, just raw chemistry. I Fall to Pieces was her first big Decca hit. Took months to record. Not because of her, but because the label didn't believe in it. That song, y'all, it's a masterclass in patience. She leans into every note, like it's the last thing she'll ever see.
I fall to pieces each time.
Now, her last recording session before the crash, she recorded Sweet Dreams. There's a loneliness in her voice, like she already knew she was singing into eternity. She cut these sessions in a dress and heels, cigarette hanging out the side of her mouth, hand on her hip. She'd do two takes, maybe three. And if you weren't ready, too bad. She was.
Sweet dreams of you.
Patsy was one of the first women in country music to wear pants on stage. Pants, y'all. Scandalous. My, how times have changed. And not only that, she looked the part of a star. Custom nudie suits, bangs like a Cadillac hood ornament, and she mentored others too, like Loretta Lynn. Dottie West, called them her little sisters, helped them navigate through the rough waters of the business, full of snakes, whiskey, and radio men with sticky fingers and grabby hands. Now don't let the glamour fool you. Touring back then meant crammed cars, long drives, and sleeping in roadside motels where the heat didn't work and the sheets smelled like cigarettes and broken dreams. She once drove 8 hours overnight just to get paid $75 and a pat on the back. But she kept going. She had to. And in 1961, she was in a terrible car crash. Busted up her ribs, hip, and face. Doctors thought she might not sing again. But she proved them wrong, and in 6 weeks flat. But just 3 short years later, when her star was blazing its brightest, it all came to a halt. March the 5th, 1963, she was flying home from a benefit show in Kansas City with Cowboy Copas and Hawkshaw Hawkins. Bad weather, bad visibility, and a rickety old plane, and they never made it home. She was just 30 years old. The wreck shook the world. Fans cried, and DJs played Sweet Dreams on a loop. And artists, yeah, they knew something sacred had been lost. But here's the thing. Patsy didn't fade. She grew. After death, her records sold more than ever. She was the first female solo artist inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame. Her influence, it's everywhere. From Reba to Casey Musgraves, they all carry a little piece of her. So what did Patsy leave behind? Well, not just a catalog of heartbreakers and boot-scootin' bangers. She left behind a legacy of strength, of refusing to shrink for the sake of comfort, of doing it her way, whether it meant fighting with execs, standing up for other women, or belting a ballad until the whole room went quiet. She was tough, tender, loud, and when she needed to be, and always, always real. So next time you're walking after midnight or falling to pieces or just feeling a little crazy, put on a Patsy record and know that somewhere under that big honky-tonk moon, she's still singing. Well, that's it for this episode of Honky Tonk Tales. I'm Jimmy, and I'll see y'all next time. Same boots, same bar stool. Until then, keep your whiskey strong and your stories louder. Bye, y'all. Research for this episode by me and GPT. Theme music by Pine Groove Music. Email us at honkytonktales@gmail.com. Additional music for this episode, Walking After Midnight, Crazy, I Fall to Pieces, and Sweet Dreams by the incredible Patsy Cline. Now that's all kinds of country right there.